Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servant said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Let's pray. Jesus, we honor you. Father, we honor you. Holy Spirit, we honor you. We know that the Son is seated by the Father in heaven. We have access to the throne room through the Holy Spirit who's here with us today. Lord Jesus, I pray that your Spirit would move in the midst of us, that we would have your mind, that we would invite you in, that you would speak, that you would show, you would reveal, you would convict. Where we know that you stand at the door and knock, I pray that somebody would open the door today to you. Let every door be open to Jesus Christ. Every door you've kept shut and you've kept him out of your life, I pray that it would be open today. That when he knocks, you would say yes, that you would open the door. He won't force his way in. He won't kick the door down. He will knock, though. Will you listen? Will you answer? Will you open? Lord, let us be a people that opens the door today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can have a seat. Last week, I felt like the spirit of prophecy was hitting me so strong when we were in service. And he hung with me all day. And I went home, and one of the most, like, just closest, most intimate moments I have with the Lord, for some reason, it happens when I mow. Because when I mow, I just turn on worship music and I begin to pray in the Spirit and I just begin to go and revelation just begins to flow. And I felt the spirit of prophecy hitting me. And I felt a word rising up for a young man in our church. His name is Alex. He's married. They're about to have a child. And I just felt the Lord just bringing him to mind. And I just wanted to just give this word. Alex, this is for you. You're a man of God. You shape lawns for a living. You kill weeds. And what you don't realize is that you have a prophetic ministry because you call out the weeds and you administer the solution to kill the weeds that keep the grass. There's things that you do in your everyday life that you don't even realize it, but it's prophetic. And he is showing you something. He's revealing something to you. I love it when the weeds pop up because now I know where the enemy's been hiding. All of a sudden, when they spring up, I know where he is, and I can go after him. I can root him out. Man of God, you have a prophetic calling to root out the weeds from people's lives. The men who work under you will never be the same. You will minister to them as a father to the son in the next season, caring for them, directing them, drawing their eyes to the weeds so that they can be uprooted in the name of Jesus. It's a mess some days, but there's a blessing under the mess. Keep pulling out. Keep rooting out the weeds. I can't tell you how many days these past 4 years since revival began, that it felt like my wife and I were on two different paths, heading two different places, and it felt like we were getting further and further apart at times. But let me tell you today, God can bring the rivers back together again. If it feels like you're going on two separate rivers, I'm telling you, He can bring you back into a place of unity again. He can move the seas, He can move the mountains, He can move the rivers, He can make the rivers run in desert places. And so if it feels like you are in a place where there is disunity, if you stick with the Lord, if you stick with His word, He can bring you back together again with God's people. He can bring you back together again in marriage. He can bring you back together again in relationship. If it feels like you took two different rivers, if it feels like you took the wrong path, He can bring you back again. He wants to do that. I think about the first house we owned. We moved in, and I thought all there was to taking care of a lawn was mowing. I thought that was it. I was like, I'll mow once a week, and we're good. I didn't bag it. I just mowed it. I called it good. I had a low standard in that first house. My wife, she came from a family that mowed, that fertilized, that overseeded, and took care of their lawn. They watered it. We moved into this house, and the real estate agent said, oh, there's a sprinkler system. I said, I don't care. I don't got kids yet. And when I do, I'll just buy one of those sprinklers that you put out in the lawn. And my wife said, no, it's for the lawn. What? You're supposed to water the lawn? Why? Why are we doing this? I didn't do it. I didn't care. I had this attitude within me that said, I don't care what my lawn looks like. Only God can judge me. You ever said that before? Only God can judge me. I don't care what my neighbors think. It's not about caring what your neighbors think. It's about honoring and stewarding well what God has entrusted you with. It's about honor. I had rebellion in my heart, but I rewrote it and I reset it as if I was spiritual. Oh, I don't care what people think about me. Oh, I'm too spiritual to care what people think about me. No, I cared more about myself than about others. I cared more about my convenience. I cared more about the cost of taking care and stewarding a lawn. I said, I'm not going to pay extra for that. I'm not going to pay the water bills for that. I'm not going to pay for fertilizer. Poop? You want me to pay for poop? That's stupid. That's dumb. But I could see over time that this was something my wife cared about because she came from a family that cared about it. I came from a family that just said, hey, just do the bare minimum. You mowed? Great. That's awesome. There's some people that don't even mow. Go ahead. Drive around some of these neighborhoods in this area. You'll drive around, and you'll be like, wow, there's dandelions, there's weeds, there's long grass. Like, they don't care. And so all of a sudden, we begin to judge ourselves by the standard that's around us or the standard of the world when the Lord has called us to a higher place. He's called us to a higher standard. Don't lower your standard to the world. Don't say, well, I'm doing a little better than him. I'm doing a little better than her. Raise your standard to the Lord's. That's what the Word of God is. It's a new standard. You're saved by grace, but He's called you to a higher place. You're saved by grace, but He's called you to a higher place. A place that walks in honor. A place that walks in stewardship. I'm talking about lawns, but I'm not talking about lawns. You got to get the revelation today. You got to get the, Lord, give us ears to hear, eyes to see. Lord Jesus, please come right now. Speak, Lord. Speak, please. You got to get the revelation today. It's not about the lawn. It's about your life. When I let that lawn go a little bit longer than a week, I'd look out and I'd see a field of dandelions. I'd see a field of clover. I'd see a field of weeds. But what would I do? I would just go mow it down really quick. I would just go mow it down really quick. Once a week, once every 2 weeks, maybe once a month sometimes. Some of you, you're doing that with the Lord. You start to see some weeds popping up. You're like, oh shoot, I haven't been to church in a month. I should probably go to church. And so you go to church, and what do? You mow the field down. You're like, oh, I'm good. I repented. I took communion. I'm good. And then you go a week, and then you go another week, and you go another week, and you go another week. And then before you know it, all of a sudden you're like, well, winter's coming. I mean, it'll just all die pretty soon. I don't need to keep taking care of it. No. Get into his presence. Get into his presence. Begin to listen to his voice. Just feel like a resistance right now, a little stiffness. Lord Jesus, help us. My old lawn was a mess. I had a low standard. I had the standard that was passed down to me from the generation before. It's nothing against my dad. It's nothing against my grandpa. It was just passed down. It was generational. There are things that have been passed down generationally that you've just accepted as normal and just said, this is just how it is. This is how it's always going to be. This is how it's supposed to be, because it's what you've been learned. It's what you've been taught. It's what you've learned. It's what you've seen. And you just say, this is normal. It's not normal in the Word. Yeah. There you go. We just need a little help today. You just need a little help today. It doesn't have to be normal. Just because it was normal for your dad, just because it was normal for your mom, just because it's normal for your siblings, for your aunt, for your uncle, for your grandma, for your grandpa, it doesn't have to be normal for you. He's given you a new standard. Because you just keep looking around and you're like, oh, I wish I was over here. I wish I had this. I wish I had this going on. Lord, I want more. And he's saying, you got to take care of what I've given you. You just think it's going to take care of itself? No. You got to steward it. The Lord took us out of that place and put us in a new place. And let me tell you something. That old place, when I mowed it down, really short, there was some green there. And if you just looked at it from a distance, it might have looked okay. You might have been like, oh, he's got a green lawn. Yeah, there's some good things going over. But if you got close to the lawn, all of a sudden, you would see there's roots of dandelions everywhere, and they're going to pop up again. And you would see, oh, what you thought was grass, it was clover. It was clover. You don't want a lawn of clover. You want a lawn of Kentucky bluegrass. I'm telling you, it's the good stuff. Like, you start walking around on some Kentucky bluegrass, man, your feet, you got to get barefoot out there in your lawn. And you start walking around, and you're like, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's different. But you start walking around on the clover, you start walking around on the weeds, and you feel that hard soil because you haven't watered it all summer long, and it hurts your feet. It doesn't feel good to walk on. And you just kind of keep people at a distance. You're like, we're not having any barbecues. We're not having any grill outs. We don't want people to see what's actually going on. Some of you are doing that spiritually. You're just keeping people at a distance. And he's saying, no. My people are here to help you. My people are here to help you. They're going to help you pull out the roots. They're going to help you. My Spirit is going to reveal to you the weeds in your life that I want to remove. And I want you to be refreshed in this season. I want to see green grass grow. I want to see you become fruitful in this season. He wants that for you. It's starting to take root here. So as we moved from one place to the next, the Lord blessed us. And we realized there's a higher standard. As we were blessed, there was a higher standard in this new neighborhood of what the lawns looked like. And I realized I didn't steward well what I'd been given in the previous home. And so I recommitted myself that day to steward the lawn he had given us. And so I began to fertilize, not just once, four times in a summer. That's a lot. And then I began to sow seed. I began to buy seed and I would sow it. And I began to aerate my lawn. It's this little thing that just it pulls up little clunks of dirt. What am I doing? I'm stewarding. I'm trying to take care of what God has given me. And so now all of a sudden, when I go out to my lawn, I don't see a field of weeds. I don't see a field of clover. I don't see a field of dandelions. But every now and then, I can see a dandelion. And I don't just say, well, I'm doing better than I used to. Some of you, you're doing that spiritually. You've come a long ways. What did Brennan say? There's discipleship taking place in this house. There's transformation taking place in this house. But we don't just say, well, I've come a long way. Is it? Just a little bit of sin is okay. Just a little bit of pornography is okay. Just a little bit of lust. Just a little bit of anger. It's not as much as I used to. And he said, no, no, no. Be holy as I am holy. Be holy as I am holy. And so now when I see a dandelion pop up, I don't just say, oh, it's better than it used to be. I go and I take this little spade and I just start to dig and dig and dig. And I found it. I can see it. It's easier to pinpoint the problem as you're walking with the Holy Spirit and he begins to reveal things and he begins to wipe away the weeds from your life. And then all of a sudden it becomes clear. He gives you revelation and he begins to show you, look, here's a spot. Here's a spot right here. I want to transform your life, even right here, even in this small little corner that you think nobody knows about, nobody cares about. Even this, I want to help you take care of. Even this. When God reveals it, it's my desire to honor him, to dig it up and root it out. It's not about saying, well, I don't care what my neighbors think. No, no, no. It's about honor. I want to honor the Lord. I want to honor the Lord with everything he's given me in my life, with my family, with my kids, with my wife. I want to steward well in every area. There's a new level. There's a new standard in a new season. I feel like some of you, you're coming into a new season and you're at a crossroads and you want to just keep doing things the way that you've always done them. There's two rivers. There's two paths. You can take one or the other, but I'm telling you, he wants to take you from the old way, from the old river, from the old path, and he wants to move you onto his path. He wants you to get in the flow today because for this new season, there's a new standard and there's a new way of doing things. Would you just say yes to Jesus today? Just say yes, Jesus, yes. Lord, have your way in me. I could have changed the standard in my old neighborhood. I looked around my old neighborhood and I said, well, it looks about the same as that person on my right and that person on my left, so I'm just okay. But instead, I just moved. I ran away. And some of you, you just want to run right now. But I'm telling you, he's called you to this place to set a new standard with your family, with your friends, with your neighbors. Set the standard. Raise the standard. Live out the standard. And all of a sudden, it's going to raise people up around you. It's going to raise your family. It's going to raise your wife. I thought we were going on two different paths, but I just said, I don't care. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to be obedient to him. I'm going to honor his word, even above what my wife wants. Wives, honor your husbands. You might not like it. He might be taking you and leading you into new places, but trust him. If he's honoring the word, if he's chasing after Jesus, trust him. Honor him as the head of your home. Trust him, ladies. And as you begin to honor him, it's going to carry you into a new season. And it's going to carry you back onto one path, onto one river. I just kept honoring the Lord these last 4 years. And he was gentle. He was patient. He was kind. And what did he do? He realigned my wife and I. And then what did he do? He realigned our family. He realigned our kids. And all of a sudden, what felt like all these different rivers, all these different paths, he put us back onto one again. He wants to do that. He wants to do that for you. There's a new level and a new standard in a new season. Some of you, you've been wanting this. You've been asking for this. You've been saying, Lord, please, I'm ready for that new season. I'm ready for that next season. And he's just saying, no, no, no. You haven't even shown me you can handle this season. Change your ways, and then I'll change your circumstances. Change your ways, and then I'll change your circumstances. You've been looking at people's grass. You've been looking at their lawns and saying, I want that. It's better than what you've given me, Lord. You don't see the time they put in. You don't see what they've invested. You don't see their water bill. You don't see their fertilizer bill. They made a sacrifice to get to that point. Are you willing to sacrifice to get to that point? Do you want that for your life? Do you want that for your family? Make the sacrifice. Lay it down for him. I began to sow seed. And guess what? That first year, man, I didn't really see a lot. And then that second year, I thought, oh, I'm going to start to see something. We still had bare spots. It was better. It was better than in our old house. We didn't have the weeds, but now we just had some bare spots in our lawn. And so I just began to aerate, and I began to overseed. And I'd buy this seed, and it's expensive, but it was worth it. Because all of a sudden I was mowing last Sunday, and I was mowing over some of these areas that used to be bare, and the Lord gave me a revelation. He said, look at the growth that's happened here. I said, you're right. I got this one path along the neighbor's fence line, and they got dogs. We got a dog. And I swear to you, every morning when we let our dog out, it becomes the racetrack for dogs, and they just go back and forth, back and forth. And there was just a bare path there. And so I've been seeding. And all of a sudden, I was mowing on Sunday, and I realized, praise the Lord, there's grass here. There's something. There's growth happening. Even, my dog ain't the devil, but even where the devil's trying to run, even where the devil's trying to stomp you out, let me tell you something. If you're sowing seed, the Lord will bring growth, even where the devil's trying to stamp. Because guess what? You're seated above him. You're seated in heavenly places. Praise Jesus. You're above. You're the head and not the tail. You're above. You're not below him. I like my dog. She ain't the devil. She's a good dog. And then all of a sudden, when you become aware of the growth, when you become aware of what's happening, you start walking around, and you're like, I wonder about those other bare places that we used to struggle in. And you go over to them, and all of a sudden, they're smaller. There's growth happening. In your life right now, go back and look at the bare places, the places that you thought, oh, they're never going to grow. There's never going to be anything fruitful there. Go back and look at them, and all of a sudden, you see some grass. You see something happening. You see some growth. You see some signs of life. In the name of Jesus, begin to praise him. And some of you, you're looking around at your neighbors, and you're seeing their growth. You're seeing what's going on, and you're seeing the fruitfulness, and you're like, Lord, why can't I have what they have? Don't get bitter. Start to sow seed. Don't get bitter in this season as you see the fruitfulness in somebody else's life. You don't realize they sowed seed in the previous season. They sowed seed to see the fruitfulness that they're seeing right now. And some of you, you're just looking at it and you're saying, oh, they're just, God just loves them more. No, no, no. God is no respecter of persons. If you begin to sow, he will grow. If you begin to sow, he'll bring the growth. He wants to do it for you just like he did it for them. He wants to, but you've been holding on to the seed. He's given you seed to sow, not to hold on to. I go out to a lot of baseball games. I eat sunflower seeds. Am I satisfied after that? No. I want Chipotle. I want a burger. I want a steak. I want something. The seed does not satisfy if you're trying to live off it. But if you will sow it, it'll grow into something that will satisfy. There's some revelation in here for you. There's some revelation here. This is for you today. This is for you today. He's for you today. He's for you today. He is. I know. There's one woman getting the revelation today. In the name of Jesus, you're blessed. I believe it. You're blessed. If you want to get blessed today, don't leave this place. Don't miss this moment. He wants to bless you today. Receive it. We give him honor. We give him glory. We steward what he's given us. And all of a sudden, your lives are going to change. All of a sudden, you're going to look at the bare spots and you're going to realize they're not bare anymore. All of a sudden, you're going to look at the fig tree that you thought was barren. And all of a sudden, you're going to see fruit growing. You're going to see fruit on the tree. Jesus, 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 Jesus. He's good. There's a new level. There's a new standard in a new season. You can raise the standard where you're at. But if God is calling you to move into this next season, if he's calling you into a different place, great. It's a blessing. But if he wants you to stay planted where you are, then from now on, you make a choice to say, I'm going to set the standard wherever I'm planted. If this is it, Lord, if this is where you've called me, I'm going to set the standard and I'm going to raise the level all around me. I'm going to raise the level all around me. When he planted us in this place at 82nd and Blondo Street a little over a year ago, I said, Lord, that's not where I want to go. I said, Lord, I got bigger and better ideas. I got bigger and better visions. I know bigger and better buildings, Lord. And I've seen the visions for where we're going to go as a house. Lord, I know this isn't it. And he said, you got to steward this place well. You got to raise the standard spiritually in this place so it brings the people up in this area. So it raises them to a new place. You're part of one of the greatest seeds in the city of Omaha, in the state of Nebraska. You're part of a seed that's been buried, that's been planted, but that is breaking forth and bringing forth spiritual life and growth like this city has never seen, like this state has never seen. The devil's been trying to stamp it out. The devil's been trying. The dogs have been running all over this city trying to stamp out the growth, but you can't stop what God is bringing the growth to. If you'll stay planted, you're going to see it. If you'll start to sow instead of being bitter about the growth that other people are experiencing, what they're seeing right now in their lives, and you just start to sow seed, you start to sow the seed of your time, of your money, of your talent, and you start to sow it into the kingdom, guess what's going to happen? In the next season, you're going to be the one seeing the growth. You're going to be the one reaping the harvest. You will reap what you sow. If you sow nothing, what are you going to reap? Nothing. Nothing. If you sow bitterness, if you're just speaking bitterness and criticism into people's lives, what are you going to reap in the next season? Bitterness, criticism. But if you sow blessing, if you stop living in the bitterness and you start sowing the blessing through your mouth, through your words, through your actions, what are you going to see in the next season? You're going to see the blessing. You got to sow to grow. On June 8th, it's Pentecost Sunday. We're going to have a baptism Sunday here at this place, but we're also going to sow a seed into God's kingdom. And if you've never sowed a seed before, I would just tell you right now, just start to ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to sow? What do you want me to sow, Lord? It's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice to take the seed he's given you that he's entrusted you with and then to sow it, to let it go. But we're going to sow a seed on June 8th into the kingdom. I believe God wants to bring revival all over this world. What we're experiencing here in Omaha, Nebraska, I felt him calling us to Europe. And so we're going to sow a seed into churches in Europe. There's church plants beginning and sprouting up all over Europe right now. We're going to sow a seed into these churches. And we don't sow so we can get, but I'm telling you, when you sow, you do receive. There's a harvest that comes. It's a spiritual principle. I just believe he wants to do something great in your life. Stop holding on to the seed. Stop eating the sunflower seeds and sow it. And I'm telling you, there's a better harvest. He doesn't want you to live off the seed. He wants you to sow the seed. He wants to bring a harvest into your life. First Peter 1. Some of you are like, wow, we're finally getting to the word? I know. That's on me. I just felt like there was some stuff I had to share today. But 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Therefore, gird up your loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Get your mind right. Be sober. and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children. As obedient children. Don't you want that in your own family? Don't you want your children to be obedient? So why wouldn't he want that from you? Why wouldn't he want an obedient son, an obedient daughter? Not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. Be holy for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. From your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. Some of you, you've just been doing what your fathers did. You've just been copying what your fathers did, what their fathers did, generation after generation. Change it. Your fathers are not the standard. Your father is not the standard. Your father is the standard. Your earthly fathers are not the standard. Your father is the standard. You've been holding on to tradition. That's religion. You've been holding on to it. I just did what my dad did. I just did what I saw my dad do. I never saw my dad worship. I never saw my dad raise his hands. I never even really saw my dad sing in the church. You just kind of wonder. Some of you are doing that. You're out there. You're like, I'm not going to open my mouth. That's it. Give him a sacrifice of praise. You think I'm up here shouting because I'm a great singer? I'm okay. You laugh too hard at that. You laugh too hard at that. Come on. He's made me better. It's a sacrifice of praise that he wants now. It says that in Hebrews. And some of you are like, I ain't bringing my sacrifice today. I ain't doing it. Because that's not what I saw my dad do. I saw my dad look cool. He just kind of stood here like this. I saw my dad do that. I saw my dad do this. In fact, I saw my dad. He was so cool. When they said to stand in church, he sat. That's how cool he was. He didn't care what anybody said. He didn't care what anybody thought about him. That's rebellion. That's rebellion. Who has bewitched you? Who has bewitched you? Rebellion is as witchcraft. It is so good. Praise the Lord. Somebody got the revelation. It is so good. You can preach with me. You can say amen. You can say that's so good. It ain't me, it's him. When we say amen, we're coming into agreement with God's word. That's it. It's a holler back church. You can holler back. Holler back at the Lord. Praise the Lord. Get a little crazy. Get a little wild. This is Spirit-filled church. I know that ain't normal in the Midwest, but God is doing something that ain't normal in the Midwest. He's breaking off the traditions of the fathers. He's breaking off the traditions. The way you saw your mom do it, the way you saw your dad do it, he's saying, no, 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 they ain't the standard. I'm the standard. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on. In the name of Jesus, we'll never be the same again. You were on another path. You were on a different path. He's calling you. It says in Ezekiel, he lifted Ezekiel up in the spirit and put him by the river. Lord, put us by the river. Lord, put us in the river today in the name of Jesus. Put us in the river. We just want to flow with you. Get back in the flow today for this new season. You don't got to do it the way your father did. Just because your father lived with a field of weeds and then he tried to hide it once a week. He tried to hide it once a month. You don't have to live that way. And in fact, as your standard changes to the standard of the word of the Lord, your father's going to see that in you, and he's going to say, there's something different about my son. And what you thought would be something that would bring a barrier between you and your father, it's actually going to bring a new level of intimacy in this next season. It's going to draw him close to you because he sees that your life is different. He sees something, and he wants what's in you. It's the Holy Spirit in you. Just say yes to Jesus. Just say yes to Jesus. There was a drought in the land of Israel. Elijah the prophet, he had said, there's going to be a drought in the land of Israel. He told King Ahab and Queen Jezebel this because they had gone to worship the idols. They were worshiping demons. And so the Lord brought a drought. You think the Lord doesn't care about the weather? He cares about the weather. Come to that class, the spiritual history of Omaha. All of a sudden, you'll start to see Rose, who is a gift to the body of Christ, because the way her mind works, she has seen things, and the Lord has shown her things, has revealed things to her in the patterns of our spiritual choices as a city, and what happens even in what we think would be the small details of the weather. Oh, bad weather just happens. No. There's a spiritual correlation. When we drift from the standard of the Lord, there are weather patterns. There is destruction that follows in the wake of our decisions, of our choices. It's still the same, even with us as individuals. When you make choices that drift, that take you away further from the Lord, all of a sudden, bad things begin to happen. Why? Because you've stepped outside of the boundaries of His protection. There's protection. There's provision in the house. There's protection and blessing when you step inside the standard of His word. But when you step outside of it, He can't protect you outside. He can't move the roof of His house to cover where you've gone, where you've strayed. But we've built a whole theology about this and said, oh, bad things just happen. All these bad things, they just happen. And so I was a young man, I was a high schooler, and I was drifting into idolatry towards baseball. I loved baseball. I cared more about baseball. I cared more about girls. Those were my idols. That was what I worshiped. That was where I spent my time. That was where I spent my mind. Everything revolved around those two things. And every now and then, I'd go to church. And it was just like, it was just okay. I didn't really want to be there. I had this whole plan in my mind of where I was going, what my life was going to look like. And it revolved around baseball and girls. And I kept following it, and drifting further from the Lord. And every year around tryout season, I remember the first year, I got mono. And some of you were like, well, that makes sense. Yeah. If you know how you get mono, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I've repented since then. Thank the Lord for grace. Every year, something would happen. I'd get sick. Something would happen. And right around tryout season, and I would never make the team I was supposed to make because I couldn't even finish the tryout. All my dreams, everything that I kept seeing for my life, it kept getting delayed. And then finally, I remember my junior year, finally things were clicking, finally things were going in place, and I was having the best season of my life. And I got this invite to this college scouting camp, and I was like, this is it. The Lord is opening the doors. And before the season even began, I dove for a ball in practice. I'd never broken a bone my entire life. I'd been blessed. I had protection. But what was I doing? I was stepping into rebellion. I had been straying from the Lord. And I dove for this ball, and I landed on my thumb. And it felt a little weird. Don't worry, I caught it. I know you weren't. I pull up my hand, and I pull off my glove, and my thumb is at a 90-degree angle. And I'm like, hey, coach, this doesn't look right. And he just said, oh, just bite your glove and just put it back in place. I said, for real? He's like, yeah. Shouldn't I go see a doctor? He's like, no, it's just dislocated. And so I popped my own thumb back in place. A week later, it's still black and blue. It hurts like crazy. And I finally go to a doctor because it turns out your high school baseball coach is not a doctor. He doesn't know. And I go in there and they're like, it's broken. You're out the rest of the season. They put me in a cast and that was it. And I went home and I sat in the dark and I just was mad and angry at the Lord and I was bitter. And I said, Lord, why'd you do this? Why'd you do this? Why'd you do this? And then, you know, all these people are, you know, coming around you and being like, well, bad things just happen. Sometimes you get sick. Sometimes these things happen. And it's like, no, it was a direct correlation with my disobedience. The further I strayed from the Lord, the more He took His hand of protection and provision off my life. And some of you are experiencing that right now. All these bad things are happening, and all these spiritual people are saying, well, bad things just happen because of the fall. And I'm telling you, no, you need to check your life. Have you stepped into a place of disobedience from the Lord? Are you serving and worshiping and following idols? Are you following the idols of this world? Some people don't want to hear that because it's a heart check. You got to look inside. You got to say, Lord, reveal to me if there's any place where I've gone astray from you, where I've stepped into disobedience. And all of a sudden, when you repent, He takes you from the dry places back to the river you were called to run in, the river you were called to flow in again. It can happen like that in a second when you repent. And so I just pray today that we would repent, that we would turn back to Him. If there's been a place, an area where you've been disobedient, where you've been following the traditions of your father, where you've been following His ways, would you just repent in a moment and say, Lord, I want to do it Your way. I don't want to follow my own path anymore. In Jesus' name. Worship team, you can come up as we get ready to close. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. There are a lot of religious people who will tell you, oh, yeah. I'm a Christian. I'm a Catholic. I'm a Lutheran. I'm this. You received it by the tradition of your fathers. But have you said yes? Have you confessed Jesus as Lord of your life? Have you? It's not something that you can be born into. You have to be born again into. Oh, praise the Lord. Yeah. It always starts with one. I love it. One person got it, and then the rest of the room starts to get it. Get it. Get it right here. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's it. If you haven't done that, if you've just been living off the traditions of your father, I would just tell you, our ministry team's going to be up here. They would pray with you. They'll walk you through a prayer to just say, Jesus is Lord. I believe Jesus is Lord. And I confess Him as Lord. And I believe that God raised Him from the dead. And in a moment, your life will change and you will never be the same again. That's it. Say yes to Jesus today. Stop living off the tradition of your fathers. Because it was with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through Him believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, obedience matters through the Spirit. Don't try to obey Him out of your own power, out of your own flesh. Get baptized in His Spirit. Begin to listen to His Spirit. Walk in obedience to His Spirit. In sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. Just say yes to the word today. Would you just stand up? Would you just stand up right now? Hey, ministry team, come on up here to receive somebody today. Come on up here and get ready just to receive somebody today. Just in the name of Jesus, just say yes. In a moment today, your life can be different. In a moment today, it's a sacrifice. He's not looking for you to put a bull or a sheep on the altar today. He's looking for you. Will you come to the altar today? Will you say yes to Jesus? And in a moment, the place that you thought you were on the wrong path, that you were in the wrong river, He'll take you back and put you on the right path again. Repentance happens in a moment, and it changes your life forever. Begin to walk by the Spirit today and not by the flesh. Jesus, we honor You. We give You all the glory. Lord Jesus, I pray for boldness in this room today. I pray for boldness. I pray for strength in somebody's feet today to move forward for prayer, to move forward to give their life to You, to just say yes to You, to just say it out loud. Lord, I pray for the strength in their heart, in their mind, in their soul, for them to just be hit by Your Spirit, hit by Your presence right now, and just in a moment that where they thought they were on the wrong path, You'll right their path again. You'll raise them up into new life. In Jesus' name, we declare it. Amen. Let's worship. You give